Hey, Cowboy Junction, we are so excited that you are joining us for service today. Thank you for being here. If this is your first time at Cowboy Junction, we have two options of how you can get to know us a little bit better and we can get to know you. Number one, you can go out to the hospitality booth after service and you can meet with our team who would love to shake your hand, get to know your name, give you a free gift, and also have you fill out a little bit of information. Option two is you can scan the QR code that is on the screen now and it'll send you to a link where you can fill out a form so we can get to know a little bit more about you. Also, for our online viewers, you can scan that QR code as well. It'll take you to that link and we can get some information to get to know you a little better, and then you can go to our website to find out more about us. If you call Cowboy Junction your home church, then you're familiar with Pastor Ty's statement, "Let's give God our very best." That's in everything, in our time, in our energy, but also in our finances. If you would like to give in the offering today, as you exit, we have giving stations in the hallway where you can drop your offering, or you can also go to our website or our app. It's an easy and safe way to give. Let's give God our very best. Attention all men. Every Thursday morning at 6:30 a.m., we have Iron Men here at Cowboy Junction Church. The men come together for about 30, 40 minutes and they study one chapter of the Word of God. We have donuts and we have coffee and it's a great time for fellowship and diving deeper into God's Word. It's where iron truly does sharpen iron. Maybe you're headed to location and you can't be here in person. You can go to our website, follow the instructions, and you can sign up to be part of the Zoom call. You can listen in and hear what everyone is saying, but you can also share what God is laying on your heart as you're driving down the road. Please join our men on Thursday mornings at 6:30 a.m. We are so excited for First Wednesday on Wednesday, February 1st. It's a time for our entire church to come together, including our young and our old, to hear the Word of God. We are having a special guest who's no stranger to Cowboy Junction, Carlos Whitaker. He's coming all the way from Nashville, Tennessee, and he's going to be introducing us to his new book, How to Human. Please come early. Around 5:30, we'll be offering food from Baja Food Truck, and it'll also be provided after service as well. We cannot wait to see you to worship together on First Wednesday, February 1st at 6:30 p.m. Our last and final announcement for this week is about Night to Shine. On Friday, February 10th, Cowboy Junction is once again getting the honor of hosting with the Tim Tebow Foundation, the Night to Shine Prom. This is an exceptional prom that brings all of those with special needs together for a one-night experience that is going to be such a blessing. If you want to be a part of this and volunteer, you can go to our website at cowboyjunctionchurch.com to fill out the form to be able to volunteer with us. We are so excited for this night. It is going to be incredible, and we hope you can join us. Friday, February 10th for Night to Shine. Hey, Cowboy Junction, welcome to week 3 of Free Space. Now that we've learned how to create free space, let's learn how to make that space work for you. Tip number 1, set the intention for your home. Ask the question, what do you want your home to feel like? Your home is a sacred space that isn't there just to hold your stuff, but to host your life. Your home should be able to adapt to the ever-changing ages and stages of your family. Tip number 2, give each room a job description. So fill in this statement, I need this space to fill in the blank, so that my family can fill in the blank. My statement would sound like this, I need my family room to hold everything I need for bedtime and let's get out the door time, so that my family can quickly get what they need all in one spot without chasing down babies and toddlers. This leads us to tip number 3, don't be afraid to try something new. Let's look at your daily rhythms and routines. What are the most stressful times? How can your space in your home shift to better support you in these times? Let me give you another example. This is our living area. Now, we were realizing that we kept landing in this one spot during the most stressful times of our day. So we decided to make a change. Instead of running through the house looking for PJs and diapers and wipes or socks and shoes, our entertainment center holds all of our kids' shoes on the bottom row and all of our kids' PJs on the top row.
What?
It's not traditional at all, but it's helped us so much. Chris and I found a statement that really has helped us. It's this simple statement that's powerful and freeing. Let's just try it. So take some time this week and really be intentional with these spaces. This is a home for you, for your family, to host you and serve you well.
Back to you.
Back to Ty.
Bye.
Bye.
Everybody on our online campus, welcome, welcome, welcome. You're getting adjusted to the new time that we're doing for our online campus, and thank you for your patience and incredibleness. Last week, we want to let you know that a lot of you shifted your time from Monday night and 8:30 to our 10:30 service. You did amazing. It skyrocketed on our 10:30 service and our attendance, and you just did excellent working with the crew. So I want to applaud you, our online campus, for doing a great job. For everybody here, we have some guests in the room. We have our online campus at the Juvenile Detention Center here in Lovington, New Mexico. Would you help me welcome all the young men at the Lee County Juvenile Detention Center? Glad you're here. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So we're in a series right now called Free Space, and we've been discussing this incredible topic and gift that God has given us. If this is your first service, because someone invited you and said, you've got to come. You need some free space in your life. I'm glad you're here. You can check out the other two messages that we spoke on YouTube, go to cowboyjunctionchurch.com, and you can watch it there. It's really great. Our podcasts are great as well, and that's where you can just kind of chew on this amazing gift called free space. And gift because the wiggle room, when you finally feel wiggle room, that's when it finally feels like life's not on top of you, that you now feel the freedom and the free space to go be the best person that God's called you to be. So this is how we've been starting off every service. We've been talking about when it comes to free space, I think it needs a definition because a lot of people would attend this service or watch and they would go, okay, does free space mean I need to go clean my closet? Because that's kind of been our illustration. And that's not necessarily what it means. Does free space mean, does it mean all kinds of different things? We narrowed it down to one important definition. Here's our definition for free space. It's the mandatory space required to function properly. Free space. It's the mandatory, not the up for negotiation, and it's darn sure not a suggestion. It's God all throughout Scripture, and you're going to find it. The more we talk about it, the more you're going to start reading your Bible and going, oh, that was an area that he was trying to make some free space to trust him. That was an area that he was making some free space and saying, you don't need to worry about this. You just do what I've asked you to do. It's going to free you totally up, and I'll take care of everything because I'm your God. And it's not this, it's not anything but it's the mandatory space required to function properly, okay? So to cover a little bit of last week, we've discussed time was our subject for last week. Time is one of those things that we feel like we can cram so much in it, and yet that's where we feel overwhelmed, and there's a better way of living. Moses said something incredible, and it's something I want you to kind of chew on and take into today's message, okay? Moses prayed this prayer, and he said, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And last week, I asked everyone to start thinking about how many days have you got left on this earth? And to ask God to give you a heart of wisdom on how you're going to spend it. Because he wants to show you the plans he has for you. Now, the reason why I brought that up is because I believe that this feeds over now into the topic for today, this heart of wisdom. God, teach me to figure out how much I spend so that I can gain a heart of wisdom. Teach me, oh God, to really lean into what you've given me and what's going out and give me a heart of wisdom. Today's message is about finances. And the reason why is because it is one of the number one things when I talk to people and counsel people that burdens and stresses out their life more than anything else. There are some people who just love to be busy. And time is one of those things that they're just going to have to learn how God wants them to spend their time. But if you were to ask them, what is it? What's that thing that you would just say, I need more, I need more. I guarantee for most people, it's finances. And I just want to start off here and really throw out there what we're going to do today. Today I'm going to show you where I promise a lot of people are at, and where we should be. And then there's going to be a shift in the message. And I'm going to show you, I could have gone in a million different directions. Today's message could have been in a million different directions. But I've narrowed it down to the one thing that involves trust, it involves free space, and it's going to have to come from your heart to just know that God is not trying to put this burden on you. God is actually trying to put a blessing on you. But it's going to require trust in something he asks us to trust him with, and it frees us up. And we'll get to that here in a minute. But as a pastor, I want you to know, the answer to most financial burdens in most people's minds, if I only had more, if I only had more, if I could only get that, if I could only afford that, if I could only buy that, it would make my life so much better, okay? So if you're in this room and you're a young person and you've just been taught, if I could only get that, it would make my life better. If you're in this room and you're older and you should know better, if I had that, it would make me happy. There's one continuous thing that I have seen over and over and over again. And maybe you're hearing this for the very first time, but it's this. Your standard of living does not equal your quality of life. Okay. Well, there was only two staff members that amen me on that one. They're looking for good bonuses this year. I want you to think about this. Your standard of living actually does not equal your quality of life, which means this in a nutshell. If I only had that, it would improve my life. And we've actually found that's not true at all, because life changes. There's a point in your life to where you go, if I could only move out of my parents' house. Now, parents, I know you want to amen me at this point, because that's improving your standard of living, okay? But like, if I could only move out of my parents' house, it would improve my life so much. And then you do it, and you realize, I have to pay for trash to be picked up? The newspaper actually costs money? Water is a bill? Sewer is a bill? It's like, man, I can afford this apartment. It's only $9 million a month. I can do it. And then it's like the other $9 million you have to spend to live there. Property tax? What is this? And what ends up happening is we think that the standard of living going up improves our quality of life. And what we find out over and over again, it doesn't. And the reason I want to bring this up is because this is the mindset that many of us find and why our finances are never where we want them to be. Because we keep having bigger standards and it doesn't improve our quality of living. It actually decreases our quality of living. Now, maybe you've never heard that before. And maybe I'm just going to have to just kind of settle in a little bit. I want to encourage you. If at any point today you're like, I don't know if I believe that or not, take a picture of it, chew on it all week, maybe even buy me lunch and we'll talk about it. And I would love to talk about these things with you. I really would. But here you go. We're going to start off today, and I'm just going to tell you some things that I know about you, okay? Here are some things I want you to know that I know about you. And the reason I know about you, because this week I spent all week digging in your trash, looking you up on Instagram, following you. All of you got stalked. No, I'm joking. None of you got stalked this week. This is just something that, in general, I have so many questions asked of me. And there's a few things that I know about you. So you may say, Ty, you don't know my story. You don't know where I'm at. Okay, this is some of the things I know, okay? Number one, you are living on a percentage of your income. Now think about that for a minute. It didn't take a genius to figure this out, okay? You are currently living on a percentage of your income. You make a certain amount of money, and you spend a certain amount. But the thing that I want you to ask yourself, because I think this is the real question, on the percentage of money that you make, How much of it do you spend? Do you know that number? Because how are we ever going to know what the wiggle room is? How are we ever going to know what the free space is if we don't know how much free space we have? And if you're like most Americans, we spend every dime we make. We make 100% and we spend 100%. For some of us, we spend 110%. But you need to figure out that percentage. Here's something else I know about you, okay? If you had a little bit more, if you had just a little bit more, you'd be fine. If you had just a little bit more, you would be great. But here's the funny thing about this. This is something else I know about you. You felt the same way when you made a lot less. Let me tell you, some of you are making more money than you've ever made in your lifetime, okay? But way back then, you felt the same way about the little bit you did make. If I just had a little bit more. I talked to so many people that I just turned to them and say, okay, listen, if you'd have told yourself 10 years ago what you're going to make today, you would crack up laughing 10 years ago. If we were to go back in time and sit down with the old 10 years ago you and were to say, in 10 years, you're going to be making this much money, you would go, no way. Even I can't mess that up. Even I can't mess this up. Are you kidding? This is awesome. This is incredible. And you add 10 years to it, and you go, wait, no, you don't understand. We own a bigger house. We have tons of cars. We have a higher standard of living. And you just don't understand where we are today is way different than where we were back then. But if you'd have told yourself back then what you're going to make in the future, you would be pumped. And this, all of a sudden, brings into an invitation of a thought of, why aren't we happy? Why today, if things are moving forward, if things are getting better, why am I not feeling like I'm getting ahead? So I'm going to show you something, okay? I drew up this graph thinking about you and me, okay? And there's two things to consider, and it's going to lead somewhere. And I'm really trying to get you to lean in at this point. And this is some great advice. If you're in this room and you're like, I don't believe in Jesus. I came because my friend's here. This is just great advice, okay? But I hope you lean in and see that what we're looking at is, well, what do we do with it as believers in Jesus, okay? And so I'm going to show you something real quick. First thing I want you to look at is there's two things on this chart. First one is money and time, okay? Money and time. And one of the things that we know, and we just know this about life, we know this, that in general, we always start off with not much, okay? But in time, you are going to make more than you did. And wherever you start, it's just proven that you are going to start making more in life. Now, for somebody in the room, that makes you feel better. It's like, is it always going to be this bad? Typically, no. Generally, we will get bonuses. We'll have people that begin to recognize our giftings and our talents, and they'll say, hey, what would it take to have you come work for me? And you'll look at them and you'll go, well, what are you going to pay? And they'll tell you, you'll be blown away. And they'll recognize your giftings and your talents, and you're going to get a new job, and then you're going to get bonuses, and then something's going to happen where some cool things take place. Your house goes up in what you paid for it and what it's worth now, and then gradually you will find that where you start isn't where you end. Where you start, you will make more in time. But here's one of the most important things I want you to pay attention to. Most people, when it comes to what they make, we see that you'll end up making more the longer you live. But the real number is, according to what you make, how much are you going to spend? And this line represents the question that you need to ask in the family. How much do we spend? Because you get to choose this. And generally, what happens is we tend to spend more or closer than what we make. But what if we begin to give ourselves some free space? And this spending doesn't have to chart after what we make. If we're smart, we can learn how to start spending not according to what we make, but according to what we need. Okay? And this space in between what we make and what we spend, this space is called free space. And this is where some amazing things take place. And some people have never taught us this our whole life. Some people said, hey, Liv, if you make it, you should spend it. If you make it, it's yours. If you make it, you do whatever you want to with it. Life's short. Go have some fun. And what you find is living close to this line actually isn't fun. But having some free space is actually the fun part of life. Let me show you, when you first start off like this in life, there's not much wiggle room. But as time goes on and promotions take place and God opens doors and things happen, people see your giftings and your talents, the free space begins to open up to where all of a sudden, in this free space, some cool stuff happens. In my lifetime, I've seen people be able to do some pretty amazing things by spending less, because they know their givings or their making is going to go up. It's in this space that you learn how to be a blessing. You haven't spent everything you made. And in this space, you're able to be a blessing to people who are close to you. It's in this free space that you're able to turn to your wife on your 10th anniversary and say, babe, I think this is the year that we need to take that trip that we've always wanted to go on. You know why? Because we've saved for it and we've got it sitting back and we're not going to have to put it on the credit card. And we can do something cool because we've learned how to live underneath what we make. And it's in this wiggle room that we're able to now go on this trip. It's in this space that one day you're going to have kids. One day you're going to get to turn to your son or your daughter. Maybe you have a son. And you get to turn to your son and your future daughter-in-law, and you get to go, hey, you kids are pretty amazing. And whatever her parents spent on the wedding, we want to give to you guys the same amount to have it go towards the purchase of your new home. That's going to be our wedding present to you. That's one of the coolest things in the world. If you're in the room and you're about to get married and you're sitting by your mom and dad right now, let me just talk to them real quick. No, I'm joking. But it's in the free space that you're able to turn to your kiddos and go, whatever your parents spent on the wedding, we're going to bless you to put towards your first house. It's in this free space that you get older and your kids move out and everybody's doing great. And you find out that there's this young couple in your church who want to adopt. And adoption is expensive. And you don't want some baby to go become whatever the world's going to do with it. And so adoption becomes important to you, and God lays on your heart. You're way too old to adopt, but you could help somebody adopt. And you're able to invite this young couple over and say, hey, you need a kid. I know you've been praying for one. How cool would it be if we helped you pay for this adoption process? And it's just all, can you imagine your life at a place to where there was so much wiggle room, to where you were able to be a part of some amazing miracles and blessings. And heaven celebrates this kind of living. But when we live our life right up to the edge, or maybe even over the edge, no one wakes up and says, gosh, I'm glad I chose to live this tight to what I make. Gosh, I'm glad I'm this stressed out. Gosh, I'm glad I get to wake up and think, what if the water heater goes out and we got to figure out where it's going to come from? Gosh, I look at all our tires and they're bald, kind of like Pastor Ty. I'm seeing who's watching. I'm seeing who's laughing at that, okay? And you go, gosh, I hope our tires blow, because then I get to figure out how to get another job just to pay for tires. But it's when we live in the free space that we feel the joy of having the wiggle room. See, this is something most people aren't taught. And the reason why is because we try serving two masters. We either try serving God's plan for our life, or we end up serving money. And Jesus has something to say about this. Jesus, when he was speaking, asked us to lean in, and he gives us this. It's one of the best examples of the wisdom of Jesus. And if you're in this room or you're watching, you're not even a Jesus follower, I just want you to look at this from a historical level. And I hope it's stuff like this that makes you wake up to the idea that God actually has given me the wisdom to live this life and to live it better than I could actually live it for myself. And Jesus leans in and he says, listen, you're trying to serve two masters, and you can't serve two masters. You can't, you're going to hate one and love the other, and love one and hate the other. And you're going to have to decide, are you going to be a master and a slave to your finances for the rest of your life? Or are you actually going to surrender your life to the Lord and his plans for you, and to show you how to master money instead of money mastering you? And I want to take you exactly to it. Let me show you. If you didn't know, this is high-tech redneck stuff right here. Okay? So this is just like Lee County Technology 101. Let's break the tape out. And let's go to what Jesus says, okay? Jesus says this: no one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You know what the number one complaint that comes with marriage counseling? Number one thing that's driving husband and wives apart? Money. And it's like we can't even have a successful marriage because we're such slave to the poor decisions we've made. We've lived right up to the line. We've stepped over the line so many times. There's been times that I did it. There's been times she did it. And we fight and we argue because we don't have anymore. And Jesus says you can't serve two masters. You will hate one and love the other, or love one and hate the other, and be devoted to one and not to the other. And Jesus goes back and he says this. Do we have that scripture back up there? Nope, there you go. You cannot serve both God and money. This is Jesus getting you to lean in. He's saying, if you let me be your God, I'll show you how to master money. I'll show you to have the free space to really enjoy life and to even go beyond enjoying it. I'm going to show you how to be a blessing. I'm going to show you how to be a blessing to your kids. I'm going to show you how to be a blessing in your community. I'm going to show you even how to bless yourself. So when it gets hard, when it gets tough, you will have a surplus set aside that things that would bother and stress out everybody else, they're not going to stress you out. Nobody wants their hot water heater to go out. But if it ever did in your home, you could know, hey, it's okay. Thank God we don't have to stress about it. Let's get a new one in here. Let's put it in. Let's get that hot water rolling again. Let's make my wife happy once more. Let's breathe, because we had some wiggle room. This is the joy of not being a slave to finances. Now, when you hear this phrase, I want you to think about this phrase for a minute. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Some of you in this room goes, oh, I know that one. Whoa, whoa, whoa. But if you're in this room and you would go, yep, right there defines my life. My life is pretty much pressed down, shaken together, running over. My bills are pretty much pressed down, shaken together, and running over. There's no more room for anything else. Let me just stop and tell you where I got this, and that's why some people are chuckling in the room. This isn't about your life. This is actually a phrase I've taken out of what Jesus said in the way that he can bless you. He says, if you'll do it like I'm asking you to do it, I will bless you so much it will be pressed down, shaken together, and running over. This should not define your life. This should actually define the blessing of learning how to do your finances God's way. It's like I can't take any more of this joy of living in free space. It feels like the blessings of God are pressed down, shaken together, and running over in my life. And I know there's some people in the room that would say, I don't like it when pastors talk about money. Listen, Jesus talked about money 65% of the time. Right now, no time. There you go. Jesus taught on it 65% of the time. He taught on money 65% of the time. And let me be specific about this. He used money as an example to talk to us about things like, how do we treat the poor? What should people do in regards to people who don't have? Farmer, when you go in, I want you to harvest the whole field, but leave the edges and don't go back and cut the parts that you missed. When you go in, you pick the grape field. Don't go through it a second time. Leave the grapes that you missed so the poor can go in and reap the wheat and can pick the grapes that were left over. Jesus teaches us to live in a wiggle room so that we can be a blessing to others. Jesus taught on when it regards to money. He talks about mammon. And he said, do not serve the god of mammon. And the mammon is when you make money your god, when it's all you think about, when it's all you stew on, when it's all you look at. It's everything that you stew on every day. When you pray, does 99.9% of your prayers have to do with, God, we need more, God, we need more, God, we need more, God, we need more? And Jesus talks to us about money in the fact that money has become your master. Do not serve the God of mammon. Jesus continued his teaching about money, and he talked about saving. And he talked about put it away. It is so good for you to put it away. And he talked about savings. He talked about money in the form of talking about giving. Giving was a big deal to him. He honored a little widow, woman who gave her two mites. And he said, truly, this woman has given more than anybody else in this room. And he applauded it. And he drew attention to it. And he talked about money in the form of giving. He talked about money in the form of who's the master, you or it. He talked about money in the form of the kingdom of God. And knowing that each one of you have giftings and talents and abilities to expand the kingdom of God, to grow the kingdom. How else are we going to get people to Africa? How else are we going to get people all over the world? How else are we going to reach people in our neighborhood? There's going to be somebody doing and somebody funding it. He said, have a kingdom of God heart so that you would want to see the things that God has blessed you with go towards how do we tell more people about the kingdom of God. Jesus taught about 60% of the time when it came to money, blessings and cursing. And in one particular place, in regards to pressed down, shaken together, and running over, Jesus is talking about giving. And he says this, in Luke chapter 6, give, and it will be given to you. Now, I just want to stop you real quick. This portion of Scripture has been mistaken for many years. When Jesus says give, he's actually talking about forgiveness in this particular area. He's saying, hey, listen, if you give forgiveness, you'll be given forgiveness. If you give patience, you'll be given patience. If you give compassion, you'll be given compassion. And the fun part about giving is we think it's only about finances, but the truth is it's about everything that's the kingdom of God. When we give generously, it will be given generously back to us. How much? He says, in a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. He's not talking about how you can spend your day, but how your day can be full of the blessings and purposes of God, so much so that it'll be like somebody took God's blessings and just pushed them down and filled it back up and then shook it really good and then filled it back up, so much so to where there was no more room for God's blessings. It just overflowed and overflowed. And you would say, I don't even see that being possible in my life. I'm going to turn to you and say, this is a trust thing that you're going to have to trust God to believe that your life in God's blessings can be pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But it wraps around the word give. And you can't give if you don't have any more room to do anything else. And Jesus continues, for with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. The reason why I think we need to talk about finances and free space is because until we do it His way, we will never see the promises that He promises. And yet, all over this room, if I had them stand up, if there are testimonies all over this room who finally decided to do it God's way. And the free space that came, and it came over time. It was a growth process. It was a maturing process. It was a faith process. It was a trust process. But I would say, is it worth it? And they would go, oh my gosh. It's just mashed down, pressed together, and running over. We've seen God use us in this area and this area, and we used to be so mastered by money, and now we've learned how to master it. So, the second part of our message. Now it flips. Now this is the part that I'm gonna teach you something. I'm gonna ask you to lean in on this because this is the meat and potatoes. This is the part that I love the most. It's dangerous because there's people at this point going, I don't know, Ty, I'm not into this. It's okay. I just want you to listen to it. For everybody else, it's like, Ty, teach me something that I can go home and ask myself, is this where I want to be? Is this where I want to see God? Do I trust God this much? When I was 16 years old, and I've told this story so many times, a man by the name of Mike discipled me. Mike owned a pizza shop in Artesia, New Mexico. And then all of a sudden, the Lord just began to speak to Mike about trusting Him. Mike was broke. In fact, Mike was so broke that Mike went to a conference one time in Phoenix, had it stay in my house, and he stayed in my bedroom. And my mom didn't teach me he had to wash the sheets. And I didn't tell Mike that the sheets he was sleeping on hadn't been washed in a while. I was broke too. So Mike couldn't afford even a hotel room to stay in. So Mike stayed with me in my room. And that night at that conference, God spoke to Mike and said, Mike, I want to make you a blessing, but you're going to have to trust me. And God asked Mike to trust him in one particular area, and Mike did. And on his way home that night, because I took him to the airport and he flew home and his wife picked him up and they were driving home, Mike looked up on a cell phone tower. This is when cell phone towers were brand new. And he noticed that there should be red lights on this tower. And all he saw was white lights. And Mike called the radio company and said, I'm just curious. I can't think about anything else. Why is the white light on the top? And instantly the guy at the radio station said, I'm so sorry. We're going to get it fixed. I promise. We got to find somebody to get them up there. And the radio guy thought that it was like the National Congress Tower Committee who was calling to figure out why the film, the red film, wasn't in the light. And when he finally figured out, this is just a curious guy, the guy said, well, here's the deal. We can't find anybody to go up there and just put a simple red film in this huge light. And Mike said, what does it pay? He said, $500 an hour. And Mike said, I'll be there tomorrow. And Mike went and bought the safety equipment. He bought all the stuff. He shimmied up. He changed the film. He shimmied down. He went in. He said it took an hour. And they said, well, the other guy says, you know, it's 3 hours minimum. And Mike took the sheet back and said, 3 hours. And they paid him $1,500. And Mike spent the next week driving around Eddy County, Lee County, Chavis County, and spotting all the towers that didn't have red lights on them. And he'd shimmy up and he'd shimmy down. Then he had to hire a guy, and then he learned how to put towers together. And he learned how to build towers, and he learned how to purchase the land and put a tower on it and charge rent for everybody that needed to put their satellite dish up on it. Mike was simply on the side, honoring God with the first 10% and honoring God with an offering to the Los Angeles Dream Center. Heather and I went to the Los Angeles Dream Center the other day to speak, and Mike actually flew there to hear me speak. There's a big building there at the Los Angeles Dream Center that has Mike Rogers. It's the Mike Rogers building. Mike Rogers raised $44 million in our last 20 years because he honored God, and it opened doors for him to speak in churches, build companies, and all different stuff. And this was the man that at 16 years old discipled me in the book of Malachi. And today, I'd like to read you exactly what Mike read me at 16 years old. And this is how it goes. God turns to the people and says, will you rob God? What a weird question. Do they make a gun big enough to hold up to God and say, give me all your money? They don't. So what the heck is God saying here? God goes on and he says, hey, yet you've robbed me. Each one of you kids have robbed me. This is the Malachi story. This is God getting to something that's bigger than money. God says you're not honoring me and you're robbing me. Now the children of Israel were confused. The Hebrews were confused. And they turned to him and they said, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings, God says. Now, if you've ever heard about the book of Malachi and asked someone, what is the book of Malachi about? Someone's bound to say it's about money. No, it's not. It's about honoring God. And I remember Mike stopped me and he said, you know the problem? Do you think God really wants their money? My quick answer was, yeah. And he goes, no, that's the thing most people don't get. God could care less about your money. God's complaining because when we don't trust God and do what he asks us to do, he can't be the father that he wants to be in our life. He can't bless us. If we're going to do it our way, that leaves no room for God to do what he can do. And God can do far more than you could ever imagine and think. This isn't something on how to get something from God. This is just repositioning our life. Instead of I can take care of myself, it positions our life to say, God, I can't do what you can do. And I am fully and completely trusting in you. And that's why God is saying, you're robbing me. You're robbing me from being the dad that I want to be in your life. You're robbing me from being the God that I want to be in your life. Malachi continues, and he says this, you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole nation. It's not just you, it's everybody has quit making room for me to be the God that can do what only I can do in your life. Then God says this, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Tithe is the first 10% of everything that we make. It's our recognition of knowing, I know where it came from, I know who gave it to me, and God, I can't breathe without you. I can't enjoy life without you. I can't see what you want to show me without you. And I want to honor you with the first 10% and return it to you, that there may be food in my house. Meaning, in the temple, if someone didn't have, then they came and they were provided for. Same thing happens with our church. It's a place where the tithe comes and we are able to be a blessing in our community. And then God says the most amazing thing. When you honor me with the first 10%, he says this, test me now in this. It's the one place in the Bible where God says, come on, I dare you. I dare you to try me in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will be not enough room to receive it. God says, when you honor me with the first 10%, I will make the other 90% last longer and go further than you could ever do trying to budget 100% of your life. This series is about trust. It's about you having the faith to trust God. And tithing goes against everything our brain says. So you're telling me the first 10%, I'm going to lose 10% on 100% that I'm already in trouble on. And if we stay there, we'll never know the free space. But when we stop and we honor God with the first 10%, when we make enough wiggle room in our life, when we put that first free space in, we are putting our trust in God. I can tell you firsthand that Heather and I, there is absolutely no possible way we could ever do what we do if we tried to do it on our own. All over this room are people that can be a living, breathing testimony of the goodness of God when we have the free space of honoring Him. Not with working harder, not with working more, but to simply honor Him first. And He brings things we could never do on our own. To make it very clear, let me show you how it goes. You ready? Every one of us is called to go make it. There are people, giftings, talents in this room. And I truly want you to know that you've been given giftings nobody else has been giving. You've been given talents and abilities that you will be rewarded for, and we need to go make it. But the next kicker is so crucial. If we go out and spend it and then save it, there's usually nothing left over to honor God with. And that's why God says, the first 10% belongs to me. We make it, and we honor God right off the top. You know the joy of this? Before we got to spending, before we got to paying bills, before we got to savings, we took care of the main thing, and God says, that takes trust. That takes trust. And then the fun thing happens. After we make it, we honor with it, we save it. And we take a portion of it, and we set it aside. And there's the fun part. You ready? It's really easy from here. We make it, we honor with it, we save it, and we spend it. However you want. Now some people go, that's not very responsible. Come on, for some people, just getting it in this order is a big deal. This is the direction your finances need to take in order to have the free space. If we honor God with the first 10%, and you will see things go longer, last longer. You will see your heart begin to shift on the things that you thought you had to have, and now it's like it just doesn't have the same draw anymore. It's like my life is lining up with this different wiggle room type of living. I make it, I honor God with it, I save it, I spend it. I make it, I honor God with it, I save it, and I spend it. This doesn't even, we're not talking about offerings. We're talking about your first 10%, which is called the tithe. And the fun part about it being a percentage, let's say you don't make anything this month. You know what a percentage of nothing is? Nothing. So it's God's going, okay, you just trust me and I'll open the doors. You just trust me and I'll open the door for that job that you're praying for. That job that I know I've set up just for you. And when it happens and you know it's me that opened that door, God, thank you so much for providing all of my needs, for blessing us. We make it, we honor with it, we save it, we spend it. So today I'm going to wrap this message up, and I'm going to give you a 90-day challenge. Anybody like challenges? You're going to love this. What if we took the next 90 days and did something, okay? Here's a 90-day challenge. What if you're in this room and you're like, I don't even know what percentage I spend, okay? Well, here we go. For the next 90 days, I want you to document every purchase you make in 90 days. Write every one of them down. For 90 days, if you buy a stick of bubble gum, you're going to write it down. If you go to the movies, you're going to write it down. At the end of every month, I want you, at the end of every week, at the end of every paycheck, you're going to know how much you actually are operating on. Because how are you going to know if you don't know? And this would be so good for some of you to document everything, every purchase you make in the next 90 days. You're going to grow so much wisdom by knowing this. What if I threw you this challenge? What if you signed up and even attended the Financial Peace University class? Our church does something fun. There are so many people in this room who believe in what God can do in this Financial Peace University class. So they do something really unique. If you go sign up, I think it's $150 now, and you pay your $150 to go to the Financial Peace University class, if you go to all the classes but two, you're allowed to miss two classes. At the end of your class, when you graduate, Cowboy Junction will pay for your class and give you your $150 back. And then you can take that $150 and put it towards anything, any debt-free stuff, a credit card, a bill, anything you want. But you're allowed to miss two classes. And what if you stopped by the information booth and signed up for the next Financial Peace University class? Dave Ramsey does a fantastic job. Third and final thing, are you ready? What if you did a 90-day tithe challenge? You've never tithed before, but this is something the Holy Spirit keeps knocking on the door of your heart saying, come on, kiddo, I wanna do the things that I wanna do, but you gotta trust me. You gotta trust me. You gotta trust me. What if for the next 90 days, you became a tither? And if God doesn't do what he says he can do in 90 days, stop tithing. And that's just not me. That's God saying, try me now. Try me now and see if I won't open the windows of heaven. Years ago, we did a 90-day tithe challenge. We wrote out this contract. You had to be honest, and we had to be honest. At the end, you signed it, and I signed it. At the end of 90 days, if you saw God do nothing, if you could honestly say, I didn't see God do anything, we gave you every bit of what you tithed in the last 90 days back to you. In years of doing that, we never had one person ever come to the church and say, I didn't see God do anything. We made people come in who signed this contract and said, okay, you got to sign it again. Can you tell me God did something? And go, it was the most amazing thing as they're signing. God did this and God did this and God did this. And they had to sign it to show that we saw God do amazing things in those 90 days. It was one of the coolest. We had religious people get mad. Like, you shouldn't treat the tithe like that. And then you had these people who were taking this 90-day tithe challenge saying, we never would have done it. We don't need a contract. What if I'm just asking you to trust? Trust God for 90 days. See if I won't open the windows of heaven. You know what that means? See if one day you're not turning around and going, oh God, this free space feels so good.